Welcome to Never Meet Your Idols,
a podcast where your idols get real, whether you like it or not. This is episode 6 of Never Meet Your Idols. I'm your host, Laura Mary, and unfortunately today the other host, Karay, cannot be with us. But just for the intro, she's not very well at the moment, so sending her best wishes and a speedy recovery, and she'll be back soon. We're speaking with Rhiannon, best known as Ritzy from the band The Joy Formidable. They're from Wales. They've been around since 2007. They've put out 4 albums as well as many other tracks that you can check out online, which I recommend you do. I had the great pleasure of meeting all of them on tour when they took my band around the States. And I found Ritzy to be such a badass and totally unpretentious, which is one of the things I love about her. But also such an underrated player, even though, you know, they have fans all over the world, they play everywhere. Dave Grohl is a huge fan. He's taken them on arena tours with the Foo Fighters. But I just feel like she's such a great role model and I want to hear about her more. And I want to know about her more. So we're really excited to get to know her and get to know who inspired her. So without further delay, let's welcome our guest to the show.
Here's your idol,
Ritzy
Ryan.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so Ritzy, our first question for you. Have you ever met your idol? And if so, what's the story?
The thing that got me into music was Elvis Costello. So big, big fan from being little. It was my first gig. Like, my mum and dad took me to an Elvis Costello concert in Liverpool when I was about 7 years old, and I just loved it. I think I was like riveted. We were sat in the balcony and I just was so enjoying it, and then I fell asleep, I think, for the encore.
How old were you?
7. Yeah. So that was like, it was like the first, you know, like when you're learning to play guitar, and that was like the first kind of like guitar book, song book that I had, and just the first kind of obsession with somebody else's, it kind of what got me really into wanting to write my own songs. So then fast forward to 2011, and obviously a big fan of his band as well, The Attractions, you know, because he had some great players in the Attractions, and one of them being Steve Naive, who was his pianist in that lineup. And we reached out to Steve Naive in 2011, and he did a piano cover of one of our tracks off our first record, and that was like a big kind of career highlight. And I'm not saying that I used it as like some sort of an in to kind of, you know, Mr. Costello.
But why not?
Well, you know, nothing ventured. And so that summer, we ended up playing the same festival. We were out in Canada at Oshiega Festival in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And he was headlining one of the stages on the Saturday night, and we were playing on the Sunday. And I just thought, this is probably going to be the one fucking chance and to say hello, you know. But he was very busy, and I just got a big thumbs up across the car park. But that was enough. To be honest, I kind of thought that kind of keeps the allure and the love of music, you know, still kind of quite alive. Because I think there's something quite frightening sometimes about meeting, I don't know, you know, what if the personality, what if the connection just, there's something that just kind of chips away at all this investment that you've had.
Yeah, the fantasy.
Totally. So that was enough for me.
Yeah, I really agree. I think that there is something about meeting your idol, the kind of fear that maybe you love the mystery more than the reality. And I know that for some people that has happened, maybe the reality wasn't quite what they expected. But in your case, I feel like that was pretty cool because you had a nod in a way. Like he kept the mystery. But
you had a little interaction.
Yeah.
You got an emoji. Totally. A like.
Absolutely. And last year, I mean, and the only other one that I've ever thought was, I met Robert Smith last year, and you know, definitely one of those moments afterwards, because I met him just as we'd come off stage. We were playing a festival that he'd curated up in Glasgow, and you know, just I couldn't stop fucking talking. You know, it was something about the adrenaline of coming off stage and meeting him for the first time. And I'm such a huge Cure fan, and I just felt like a dickhead afterwards. I was like, what did I just vomit in this exciting moment?
Like, and
definitely. And I always, you know, I was kind of giggling to myself, because obviously, you know, one of those really funny bits of footage of Robert Smith is when he meets that woman backstage at one of those, I don't know if you've ever seen it, one of the award ceremonies, and she's just like so excited, you know, and he's so dry. So I was like, oh shit. I didn't come across like a right knobhead there, but
I'm sure they're used to it. We had Roger from The Cure, he plays keyboards in The Cure, on the show. It's funny because I'm not a Cure fan, Laura is though, but I've like openly talked about not being a Cure fan, and their fans are so die. I mean, I got like death threats basically, you know? So I'm sure they're used to when they meet, I'm sure most of the people they meet are all like goo goo all over them, you know? So, but was he like nice at least?
Oh, he was very nice. Yeah, very nice. And, you know, and he's been, like I said, very supportive, very active as well. Mm-hmm. I think the support of so many bands, you know, the Meltdown Festival that he created, just really great lineups. And he watched every fucking set that day as well, you know? He was there
so cool.
Paying attention. So.
Yeah, he's great. Good old Robert Smith. Many people actually from the public were asking, was there any female artist that kind of inspired you to play guitar or to start a band? Or I know you mentioned your idols and stuff, but was there any female artist that you thought, oh yeah, that I want to do that?
Probably the main two, again, quite wrapped into going to a lot of shows. I think that was, you know, the big I don't know what got me into music. I just went to a lot of shows from being very little. And I think there was two big ones that made huge impressions, which was Bjork, which is just the most mesmerizing, beautiful. Nowadays the production and all that sort of shit, it wasn't even a big production. It was so pure, but beautiful, just mega talented. And obviously, you know, right the way through in terms of from a production point of view to a writing point of view to the art and the artistry, you know, like, I mean, the fact that she seems to just be able to answer anything and everything and be, you know, kind of directing it all, which I think, you know, had an effect on me in terms of feeling that a woman can do the whole fucking thing, doesn't need anybody else. And Chrissy Hynde as well. I went to see The Pretenders when I was really young and just thought, yeah, that looks good.
So how is it that you've ended up in Utah? I mean, I know that's where you live now and you have for a while, but why there?
Well, you know me, you know, I'm not that keen on people. So I thought, where's on very uninhabited?
So did you just come across Utah and think, yeah, I want to live there?
It was, you know, it was a funny year. So what was it? It was like 2014, something like that. And I was on a road trip, a very cliched road trip with my mum. We'd hired a convertible and we were just having a real kind of mum and daughter kind of good old drive. And I'd been living, you know what it's like touring. I've been living out of a suitcase for what seemed like, you know, a whole lifetime. And we just passed through this like little town. And I thought, oh, fucking might move there. So by the next year, I had. It was random.
I love that.
Yeah, very random.
And you're still there.
I am. I mean, normally, you know, on a usual year, unlike 2020, I'd be split very much between North Wales
and here, but just the traveling and everything. And I haven't wanted to go home, to be honest. Not because I don't miss everybody and I want to see them. And my dogs are in North Wales, you know. So, but my mum's very high risk, so I just haven't wanted to bring another, you know, kind of level of mess into what is already a very kind of difficult situation. So I'm rooting here, studios here, kind of just getting on with things, hoping that you know, next year looks a little bit easier with travel and things starting to turn again.
Utah is beautiful. I mean, do you struggle there in terms of like being able to write with bandmates or anything? I mean, it's very long distance, right? Or do you all live there?
Well, we came over here in March, just before things got really crazy, to kind of finish the record that we were making. So Ridgen and I have actually been stuck here together, you know. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. That's kind of productive, though. I mean, that's like a great time to be stuck together.
It's been fine. I think we've lived together before on and off, you know, throughout. I mean, we've known each other since we were little kids and we've been in a band together for just over 10 years. So we're kind of used to sharing confined spaces together. But this is a whole new level of, you know, like, fucking hell, are you going out?
When are you leaving? Can you go for a walk? An extended walk, please?
So. Yeah. But we're doing okay. We've been, like I said, we've been just throwing ourselves into a lot of music, been focusing a bit more on our music club, and we've been doing loads of courses. It's been quite nice. It's been getting back into, like, you know, it's strange having a little bit more time. You know, touring is just so chaotic. It kind of just somehow, even though you're doing something that you love and you're passionate about, it does seem to just eat up time without you even realizing, you know. And kind of the thought of doing something else in those moments seems very, very hard to achieve well. So it has at least given us, like, even though we've been really busy and really excited with everything, it's given us just a moment to reflect and do some things, I think, that we've both been wanting to do for fucking ages, you know. And that's the positive.
Yeah, totally. I know what you mean. But you know what's really freaking me out is that the last time I saw you, Ritzy, was on the last show.
Yeah, in Cardiff.
Actually, my band had taken Carré's band on the tour. So that was the day after we'd like finished like 3 months or something on the road. And it was...
Yeah, you were fucking knackered, weren't you? Like, you looked... You didn't look knackered, but...
Oh, I did. I did.
You'd definitely been a tour, hadn't it?
Yeah, definitely been on tour. But, yeah, no, it's just mad how time has flown by. And that seems just like the other day. But
I know.
Now we're here. But, yeah, it has been a time to sort of reflect and do things that we don't normally get the time to do, I guess.
Yeah, we've just been kind of... I guess that's the thing we've been focusing on, is we've been doing this annual, you know, we started a couple of years ago, but this year I think we've upped it a notch because obviously we've had a bit more time as well. So it's integrated more things. So we do a song a month for everybody on the subscription. And then we've been doing various amounts of show. It's kind of tiered depending on how much Joy Formidable you want to get into. So, yeah, we had one on Sunday, but we've been really enjoying it.
Well, that's fun.
I don't know, there's something kind of quite up. We want the whole thing to be quite upbeat because I think people are hurting at the moment. I think, you know, people are in all sorts of different ways. It's a lot of feeling very divided, feeling anxious, you know, loss of income. There's a lot going on for a lot of different people. So if we can just... The focus has been just an hour and a half of just something that's a little bit kind of even more escapey.
Yeah, of course. We found that there were like fans writing from Utah asking about you ever, like, if you're going to play in Utah. And I thought it was interesting because I know you live in Utah, but do you guys, like, are you really musically active in Utah? Or do these people know that you're just there and that's how they discovered you, but you haven't? You know, like, are you part of the, is there a music scene in Utah? Or you are the music scene?
I guess, I guess we've always played every single tour we've ever done. We've always hit Salt Lake City, you know, and that was prior to me even living here. So it's been on routing. But no, we kind of keep a, I mean, we've done a few things with a few friends around here, but we've kind of kept a little bit of a lower profile. There is a scene, you know, there's actually some great musicians. I'm in Southern Utah, so not far from the Arizona border. And usually when venues don't have a shitload of music venues, so it tends to have to be a little bit more kind of creative. It's either little festivals or bars or restaurants that are kind of hosting. There's definitely a scene. I wouldn't say it's like, you know, like something new's kicking off every week or every weekday. But we've kind of kept a bit of a, I think it's always been the connection that every time we've come back to Utah, we're normally off cycle, we're either recording or we're off tour. So we're normally kind of going like, whoa, fancy a break from that. We'll just go in there. We'll go and be a punter, you know, for a change. So, you know, whether or not that hasn't really changed. I mean, there hasn't been any fucking shows. There's nothing going on at the moment.
Exactly. There's no shows anyway.
Totally. Yeah. It's just those big tumbleweeds, you know, rolling through the desert.
Before I forget, I want to talk to you about your puppies.
Oh, you do.
So, I mean, I'm a huge animal lover. I more so cats than dogs, but I love all of them. And are you fostering? Or are you starting a dog cult?
Look, tempting.
do it.
Man, so I started fostering the mummy about 6 weeks ago, and she was very heavily pregnant when she came to me. And then she had 7 beautiful puppies. Five. It's their birthday today. They're 5 weeks old today. They're beautiful. You can see one if you like. Should I grab one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, listeners.
Oh, I hear a little yipping.
Yeah, they're fast asleep. I'm very sorry, guys.
Oh, look at that yawn. So precious.
Hello. So this is, they've all got Welsh names. This is, Meiriona. She's got a good, strong Welsh name. And she was the little small one.
When you, look at the little puppy on. She's adorable. Right? What kind of dogs are they?
No idea.
Because she looks pretty big. I mean, for a month old, I think she's going to get a lot bigger. You're just fostering the mom and fostering all of them, so they're going to be adopted out?
I hope so. That's the plan. Yeah, just through the animal sanctuary. We have a big animal sanctuary not far from here. So quite a lot of stray dogs in certain little pockets of Arizona and Utah, you know. So they're kind of trying to take on board some of those, you know, populations, get everybody nice and spayed and neutered. So
Have you always been an animal lover?
There we go.
You said you have dogs and whales.
I do, yeah. I've got 2 rescues. I mean, I love all animals, you know. Being a big part of just growing up, always been around a lot of animals, and always, you know, always used to get in trouble for bringing animals back when I was a kid, you know, like pigeons that were hurt or cats that were strays or fucking, what was the good one? The pine marten. Yeah, that was a good one.
The what?
What do you guys, fisher, I think you guys might call them fisher cats in the US. Fisher cats.
I've never heard of this.
Kind of like a big, like a ferret, like a wild ferret.
A wild ferret. This sounds right up my alley, but I have no idea what you're talking about. Where do I find one of these?
I think there's a lot in Scotland. You have to take a trip to Scotland.
I have to go to Scotland to find myself a wild ferret.
See you walking down the street with a ferret on a lead.
Yeah, but they're, I don't know, they're cute.
Yeah.
So they're called pine martens?
Pine martens. Yeah. I remember getting really told off for that one because they've got really good jaws. You know, they're kind of like little mini badgers, and I just picked it up and brought it home because it was kind of hurt on the road, you know. My mum was just freaking out. Fuck yeah. Get all these arm.
Was it a baby? No, oh my God. I love that.
Just a mentalist.
I love that.
So we're going to go to some fan questions now. From Brian S. George on Instagram, he asked, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
I'd probably say, in terms of who I, my listening habits, I'd say the Beatles.
Yeah, solid choice.
Yeah. Just in terms of their catalogue and what I've always kind of gravitated towards. And I suppose, you know, we did a gig with them. That's probably one of our biggest shows today. We did a gig with Paul McCartney.
Oh my God. You think?
McCartney, what?
That was probably our biggest show. I don't know.
Yeah. And he was lovely. He was very, very sweet to us. And we had a really nice, nice time. So, yeah. The Beatles.
Laura, what's your answer for that?
I think it would be the Beatles as well. But it's funny because I used to have this thing where I used to tell everyone that I hated the Beatles. I don't know what was wrong with me, but it went on for a really long time. I think I thought I was some kind of rebel by saying I hated them. But really the truth was I hadn't really gone into the back catalogue. And then I realized that every band that I listened to was basically inspired by the Beatles. even stuff like Blonde Redhead, who I really love. So I'll go with them. Although I love the swagger of the Stones. You can't deny that. And I'd love to see them live. I've never seen the Stones live.
I've never seen the Stones live either. And they're probably like my favorite band. I mean, I would say the Stones. And it's funny because I was like you as a teenager, like, I just didn't like the Beatles. Maybe, I don't know. I also had a creepy music teacher who really pushed the Beatles. And so like, it's really hard to separate the Beatles from like this like creepy guitar teacher that worked at my school. So anyway, but I think the Beatles, it's funny that Ritzy, you were like, you said in terms of listening as a listener, like you would say the Beatles, because I think it, for me it's the same reasons but for the Stones. I think the Beatles are so greatly influential on everyone, and what I like about their music is there's like such a range, it's really amazing, but I always gravitate towards the Stones.
Yeah,
but the Stones are probably my favorite band anyway. I think there's just something like there's way more sex to the Stones.
That is,
I go where the sex is. I go where the dirt is. Yeah. The dirtier, the better, and the Stones. So, well, Neff Boston, I don't know if that's what the Instagram name is, probably asked, how old were you when you started playing guitar and writing songs?
Yeah, really little, kind of like that Elvis Costello age, like. Yeah. Seven, something like that. Started playing, wow. Started playing classical guitar first, and then just started writing a bunch. I mean, whether or not, you know, early on it was kind of a mesh of poetry and words, and then put some music, and so just that was. I mean, I was an only child, like growing up in the middle of nowhere in North Wales, so you needed a hobby, you know.
Yeah. Was guitar your first instrument then?
Well. I had just around about that age, I had flute lessons in school, and every time I tried to play the flute, I thought I was going to pass out. I obviously didn't have the best lung capacity. I used to get really fucking lightheaded. So I was like, yeah, it's really good. It's really light, nice to carry around and carry it to school on the walk, but it wasn't for me. And then I tried had harp lessons for a little bit, but again, quite similar. Had a really fucking mean harp teacher. She was fucked up. She shouldn't have been around children.
Yeah.
So didn't get into that much either. That wasn't much fun. And then finally was like, the guitars, I can still carry that to school. It's mobile.
Wow, seven, you're so young. That's amazing.
Yeah, totally.
And it was just like you kind of just, it was natural for you.
Well, we had a lot of guitars at home, you know, like my dad liked to play and he collected. So, you know, I think there was a part of me that was like, oh, I don't want to play the same fucking instrument as, you know, as your dad.
You're like, fuck you, I'm going to play the flute.
I'm going to rebel.
What a rebel.
And blow down this pipe instead. But, Yeah, it kind of felt like it was quite a natural transition. And then classical music, I think it's, you know, it's always interesting having those kind of roots in something like that's more technical and classical. It's just that, you know, you get to a certain age and things start feeling a bit stiff, you know, like it's not a lot of, unless you're doing some more kind of interpretive kind of stuff, you know, if you're kind of just going down the straight sight reading and reading music. I think there was just something that started to feel like it was a bit missing, like in terms of the creativity. So that's when I just started tinkering with his electric guitars a little bit more.
Mala Queen asks, if you could put a concert together with three musicians of your choice, dead or alive, who would you choose? And I wonder if that question is three musicians who would have to play together or like a lineup, because I think that'd be different, right? Like if you could... Like, is it the three musicians, dead or alive, you put together as one band or just on the same bill?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If we just put it as like, I guess, a separate bill, let me think. Fucking hell. I can just go off what I've been listening to a lot this week. I've just been obsessing about Spiritualize this week. I've just been like remembering all their great albums. So I've been listening to a lot. So, and I've never seen them live. I did see him back in the day, back in Liverpool, yeah, but oh, fucking hell, that was a bad venue, so anyway, yeah, forget about that.
So if it was Spiritualized, and then who would the other two be?
Well, she's from something from Wales. There's a band I really like from Cardiff called Boyazuga. So, Boyazuga, yeah. They should actually have another record coming out fairly soon. They had their first record out maybe 2 years ago, something like that, a year and a half ago. But they're good. They're they go back, a little bit to that thing that we were talking about before about rock music still being able to feel kind of really innovative and fresh. So I like what they're doing. Good live as well. Like, you know.
Awesome, I'll check them out.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to give them a listen.
Who else could we have? Oh... You mentioned PJ Harvey before.
The Queen.
And I've never seen her live. I kind of feel like every single fucking festival that we've been, the same festival, I kind of feel like we've either, you look at the lineup and you think, yeah, and then you go, fuck, we have to leave that day, or we're not there that day, or, yeah. Totally. So I've never seen her live, and I would actually love to see one of her shows.
And then all three of them together would be great, too. Yeah. That's what I want to see, all three of them together.
And that brings us to our rants and raves section, the part of the show where you tell us what stuff you're really into right now and stuff that you really can't stand.
Rants and raves!
I have a little garden out back, and I love feeding all the animals in the morning. Well, I don't just feed them in the morning, actually. I feed them a little bit, probably a bit too much. I like feed the birds, and I've got chipmunks, and I've got like lizards that I feed little bits of grasshoppers to.
And then you feed the lizards to the birds.
Right.
Circle of life.
When obviously we ended up in lockdown here, I thought, oh, I might as well try growing veggies and shit. I'll like actually try and be a bit more kind of self-sustained. So started putting loads of things in the back, and actually saw, we have these little squirrels in Utah. They're called, the locals call them pot guts because they've got like little fat, chubby bellies.
You're into
squirrels, they're called, or pot guts. And I actually watched my carrots, like something out of a fucking cartoon, go down one at a time. I was like, what the fuck is that? And then this video, literally about a week later, after the heartache of like literally having, if we'd have been trying to just eat off my garden, we'd all be very hungry right now. About a week later, there was this really nice little video that came out of it happened to this guy who'd set up a little, motion cam, and he'd filmed this pot gut coming every day. and eating his vegetables. And he fell so much in love with him that he ended up making him his own little garden that he didn't mind him sick from. So he had the human garden and he had the pot or the squirrels.
There's a video of this?
And there's a video
of it. You have to send it to us later.
And I kind of like just, I was like, I would kind of do that if I had any more vegetable seeds left, but you kind of ate them all.
Yeah, and how does he keep like the squirrel to the one garden? Like, no, back to your garden. Like, you can't trespass into mine.
Totally. I think he has some good squirrel security system set up.
Yeah. Squirrel trainer.
Totally.
That's cute. That's my kind of video. You got to send it to us.
You'll love it.
And what is your, like, what's your rant? What do you want to rant on?
It's difficult at the moment because I'm trying not to get too ranty because I think you could start despairing.
Welcome to my life.
Totally. Trying to just focus what you can control. But I think the one thing that's obviously as we near an American election, I think I'm kind of sad at the disconnect that's happening. You see, I live in this tiny little town where people, you know, it's quite a big Mormon community. In fact, what's interesting about it to me is that it's such a melting pot of different people. There's like a Mormon community. There's a community that have been here for a long time ranching. And then there's the animal sanctuary that throws up a whole new, you know, group of people that have moved to care for animals. So I've been here for 7 years now, 6 or 7 years, and everybody's been pretty kind at tolerating each other, you know, like there's just been a general vibe of like, well, we might not agree, but like, let's all just be respectful and listen. And if we don't, you know, even if we don't listen to each other, or we can't reach a point where we agree to disagree, then we'll at least all be kind of fairly kind. And just as I don't know, just there's something about how everybody is feeling at the moment.
Yeah,
and
totally.
All the anxiety and mental health that being in the middle of a pandemic also throws into the mix. I just think it's brought out some, you know, I always like to be optimistic. I think if you haven't got optimism, then you don't have anything at all. But, you know, it's brought out some of the best in people. There's obviously huge, amazing acts of bravery and kindness and people coming together. But I could certainly rant about how unkind it's feeling. And
you think that you've said you've noticed that as we're, the election is nearing, and I mean, is it just like just super decisive and polarizing where you're at? I mean, I think it is in general anyway, but
you know, it's hard to kind of make these blanket assumptions about how everybody's feeling. But we've noticed that, so every Saturday we have one crossroad in the middle of the town, and every Saturday we have one group of, you know, again, a mishmash. It's kind of hard to say exactly, but it's, you know, definitely has a pro-Trump element in there. And then a whole pile of ideology that is kind of a little bit more conservative, and everywhere in between shouting across the crossroad. And, you know, at another group of, you know, I suppose what you would call more kind of left-wing or Democratic and the BLM, you know, like on the opposite side. And it's just this wee Saturday of just shouting and people getting pissed off and angry with each other. And I definitely feel like it's an interesting time for that, you know, something so visual in this tiny town where there's only a couple of thousand population. It's just like, nobody's having a conversation, you know, it's just who can actually shout the loudest. And I think, you know, that kind of element, you know, where everybody is just wants to be right and nobody really wants to listen. You know, there's an element where everybody's getting very passionate and emotional, but isn't always listening to each other, isn't always taking, you know, I like facts.
Nobody's being heard. Yeah,
and I like facts. I like finding the truth in things. I don't want to just listen to a load of fucking hearsay or fake this, or, you know, take news from places that just serve my ideology. I want to find the truth in things, even if sometimes that is different from what you thought, if it challenges exactly where you thought. And I think a lot of that is kind of being dumbed down to just be very polarized, be very, I'm on this side, I'm on that side, and we will not meet at all. And I think that's, you know, I think that's worth a...
Yeah, it's definitely worth a rant. I think that's a valid rant for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the one thing about being out in Utah, well, there's many good things, but one great thing is that you can go out and be in nature, and there's such amazing places to see and, you know, get some air. I've been to Utah quite a few times, actually, and went to Zion and done quite a few walks and hikes around, but I'm sure there's millions of places to go, and maybe Ritzy, you can take us sometime and show us around. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there's just an endless amount of hiking ground here, and it's pretty hard to beat it. It's very, very beautiful, but I think I could give it a good stab and we could go somewhere where there's no people either, you know, if you're into that.
It's so interesting. Utah, I mean, the choice in Utah is so, I'm really intrigued, but also when you explained it, it makes total sense, because I think about, I mean, I have moved several times out into the middle of nowhere, usually like more like forest than desert, but I've been thinking about, I'm from Colorado, and I was like, should I move back to Colorado? And then I was like, New Mexico, Montana.
Well, now you got Utah. Got to put that in the mix.
Wait, what are those squirrels called again? Before we let you go, that's the most important thing. I need to write it down.
Popguts.
Next time we Zoom with you, we want you to have one. There's a puppy in one arm and a popgut. Squirrel
on the shoulders.
Trained.
Yeah, it's gotta be trained. Thanks so much for doing this with us. It's been
lovely. Thank you very much for inviting me, and good luck with it all.
Oh, thanks. Speak to you soon.
Bye.
Yeah, have a lovely afternoon.
You too.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Never Meet Your Idols.
Join us next time when we welcome John Congleton.
To submit questions for us or our guests, email us at nevermeetyouridols@gmail.com.
Or send us a message or voice memo on Instagram at Never Meet Your Idols Podcast.
Until next time, I'm Kare.
And I'm Laura Mary.
See you next Tuesday.